Koji ready. He turns on the rubber, the 2-2 home. Swing and a miss, he struck him out. The 2013 Red Sox are the world champions, and Boston strong.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Bedlam at Fenway Park as the Red Sox clinch the World Series at Fenway for the first time in 95 years. From last to best, the Red Sox have won their third World Championship in 10 years.
All right, are you ready for your picks?
Yeah, I guess.
Have you given much thought to the methodology this year? I'm really close to finishing my picks. I have one. I'm still on the fence.
Tossing out the methodology.
All right.
I don't have any cockamamie system this year that you can see how much success I've had with all of these.
All right. This
is Costanza system and the who would Jesus pick or who would Satan pick. None of this has worked.
It's been
so instead. I'll just use my stunning intellect.
There you go. All right. Well, you yeah.
And not having paid attention to what any teams have been doing. I know that this is Derek Jeter's last year.
That's correct. Yes.
And I think the Rangers signed Prince Fielder. Is that where he went?
Yeah, they traded for him. Yeah.
Are they okay? And Dodgers picked up another Cuban, so we'll see how that goes. But other than that, I don't know what the hell anybody's been doing. But so I'll just wing it.
All right, that might be the flying blind here. This might be the way to do it. Going for the goal. This is like Rocky IV when he trains in the mountains. Instead of
fought the Ruski guy.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of all that newfangled training technology, he's going back to basics. So
old school.
Exactly. All right. So we'll start in the National League. National League East. Who you got?
Okay, let me scroll down here.
Yeah, get your standing thing up so you can see.
Oh boy. Washington had a down. Everybody's expecting them to compete last year, and they had a down year. So perhaps they won't have another down year. Atlanta's always good. Washington, Atlanta. Let's go with the Nationals, the Nats.
All right.
They call them.
All right. Go Riley takes the Nationals for National League East. All right, National League, what's that?
Did I get a drum roll before these? Or?
It's implied.
I'm an expert, you know.
I know. This is like you're esteemed. You're an esteemed expert at this point. I mean, you've been on so many years.
St. Louis has certainly been consistent here the last few years, so let's just play it safe and we'll go with St. Louis.
All right. Sounds good. So that's St. Louis in the NL Central. For the NL West, this is your stomping grounds. So where you're most intimately familiar.
Always tough, you know. But let's go with my Giants winning the West.
All right. Okay. I got a really good feeling about the Giants. I think they're going to be in my mix this year. So.
Right on. You haven't made your picks then yet.
I got everything but two, so I just got to fill out the last two. I'll probably do those after I get off the phone with you. But, I only have to pick the other National League wild card, and then I'll be all set.
And we got, okay.
So for you now, you have to pick your two National League wild cards.
Yeah.
So fire away.
Well, got to go with the Dodgers for one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And how about, I got a feeling about Arizona.
All right. Sounds good. They're one of my. I got like two or three that I'm juggling here for that final spot. So, so I'm really close to figuring it out. Okay. So that's your National Leagues. You got Arizona and the Dodgers, and then in the American League East, who you got? That's my stomping grounds.
Yeah. Let's go with Tampa Bay.
All right.
Just because they every year they surprise me.
Well, I can say this for a fact. You came along the same course I did. I'm picking Tampa Bay to take the East as well. So,
very good. That's kind of a tough choice, huh, in your own division there?
I'm
choosing somebody over your team, you know?
Yeah.
Using logic against your heart.
I'm going with the presumption what we talked about earlier, championship hangover.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's usually the case. But since Boston's so damn good, well, we'll get to them for the wild card for a minute, but we'll have Tampa Bay winning the East.
All right.
With the brilliant mind of, who's their manager, the guy with the glasses?
John Farrell? All right.
No, I was talking about Tampa Bay.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry, I got confused there, sorry. Oh, you're thinking of Joe Maddon.
There you go.
I
dig that dude.
I was saying to somebody else earlier, which is sad because I only talked to two people and I can't remember which one it was, Jason or Greg, so I must be getting older, but I was saying to either Jason or Greg that I can't stand that guy, Joe Maddon. He annoys, well, because I'm from Boston and they're sort of our plucky rivals, and they were saying the other day that because he's such a genius, you know, he's always such a genius that
they probably say that, yeah, because he has glasses. And
that's true, yeah, there's that glasses. If he had an English accent and glasses, they'd think he was like the second coming of, I don't know, Joe Torre or something. But anyway, he's working on sophisticated techniques to take advantage of the new replay system.
Oh, yeah, well, that whole thing should be interesting. I hope they don't slow down the game too much.
Yeah. I think, let me just type this. I'm just gonna go with my gut on this, actually, so. I've got my picks now. I just finished, so. I'll unveil them, actually, here while I'm talking to you tonight. Sound good? Historic.
This is great radio. Thinking out loud here. Do people actually listen to these episodes?
A handful do, yeah. About as many as appear on them, so. It's
it's a labor of love.
Exactly. It's a celebration of taking some time out of the year to relax and enjoy baseball. So
yeah.
Okay, so now we're in the American League Central. So you got possible Cleveland, Chicago, Detroit, Kansas City, or Minnesota.
Oh God, I don't know any of these teams. No Detroit, of course, but they traded. Who'd they get for Fielder?
Ian Kinsler of the Texas Rangers. He's apparently decent
player.
Yeah.
Okay. They're going to have a new manager though, too.
Detroit. Yeah, they're going to have a new manager.
Okay.
Some guy. I don't know. I don't know his name or anything.
I'll go with the. No, let's use my intuition here and say go with Cleveland.
Wow.
I have no clue. They probably suck, but...
They're doing... I don't know how much it means. Probably not much, if anything. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I'd be chastised by people, but they're doing very well in spring training. They're
okay.
They're playing... They're at 680, so, which is very good. 17-8, so...
Mm.
You know,
it could mean something. You know, it doesn't obviously mean everything, but it means some of their players are doing well. So that's a sign that that could carry over into the regular season. So, yep, my Cleveland Indians. I probably couldn't name a player on the team, but
all right. So that's your pick for the Central.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then
in the West.
Go with Oakland. They surprise me every year.
That's a good call, because you're right. They always pop in, and no one ever picks them, so that could be
It's amazing? I don't know how Billy Bean does it, but I listen to sports radio out here quite a bit from the Bay Area, and 2 years ago, going into the season, man, the fans were just livid over. They traded all their named players. It was like, what are they doing? You know, why do they do this? And that season, they end up being successful and going into the postseason. I think they've been there the last couple of years, you know. It's just amazing what Billy Beane could do. You know, imagine if he had some money to work with.
Yeah, yeah. They're kind of the antithesis of the Giants in a way. They get these pitchers, they build them up, and then they sort of, at least back in the day, I don't know how they're doing it anymore, but they used to flip these guys a lot.
Kind of the same system. They look for, this is a very simplistic way of saying it, but having a basically a young roster, you know?
Hmm.
Occasionally they might go out and get a free agent, but like they picked up that Cuban Cespedes. He kind of had a down season last year, but that surprised everybody. They went and landed him in a big contract, and he looks like a real promising player. So it's hard to guess what the hell they're going to do, but they continue to be successful, and they are my pick for the American League West.
All right. So now we're
which
down
leaves us
the two American League wild cards.
Yeah. Let's go with the Red Sox.
All right.
And, let's go with Texas.
Okay. All right. Some good variety here. I'm liking this, some good variety.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's all this will.
No, you're very different from the other two, so it's, from the other two guys. And I wouldn't say significantly, but fairly different from me, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that could bode well when the picks are too much alike. When you get down towards the end of the season, it can get turn into a bit of a bottleneck, like it has the last couple of years.
Yeah, it can come down to one of these. Like last year, it came down to just one game between you and Bishop.
Yeah, yeah.
So, so we got all your, you say the Red Sox and the Rangers for your wild cards. So who do we have for the American League Championship?
Oh, I forgot I had to answer that.
I know. Remember, we forgot one year. I had to call you back. That's how well planned and produced these baseball shows are, folks.
Let's go with, Tampa Bay.
All right. I curse you right now because I picked Tampa Bay also for my American League champion. So I was hoping I had the the real dark horse there. Okay, so who do you have for the National League?
Now this is where it hurts. You know, if I don't pick San Francisco and they go all the way and win the World Series,
it'll happen again.
Which happened those 2 years they won the World Series, and I feel like such a dummy for not picking them, but. Then if I pick them, I'll jinx them. So I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to say. This is where I was particularly stumped myself.
But I better not pick them. So I'll pick. I'll pick the Dodgers.
All right. So the Rays and the Dodgers, and then who you got going all the way, winning the whole thing? Who's your champ?
Oh, I got to answer that one.
Yeah. it is a playoff system.
Let's go with the Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh, you bastard. All right.
Sorry, man.
It's all right now. Hey, it's perfectly That's how it rolls. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here I'll give you my picks now cuz I've completed them. I'm not particularly happy with all of them, but I feel as confident as I can. Otherwise, I'll second guess this all night and all week. So,
okay, let me guide you through this.
All right.
Let's start with the American League.
All right.
In the American League East,
I've got the Tampa Bay Rays.
Good choice. Yeah, that's my choice, as you know.
Yes, yes. I'm counting on a championship hangover for the Red Sox. And
part of it's their genius manager with the glasses, Joe Maddon. He does a hell of a job. He's bringing in some new concepts and theories and breaking some new ground there in Tampa Bay. So I think this is the year he's going to push them over the hump and they'll get their first World Series in Tampa Bay.
I think so as well.
Next, we'll go to the Central, American League Central. And your pick is?
The Detroit Tigers.
Okay, very good.
That seems to be...
Playing it a little bit safe there, but...
Yeah. That seems to be... I figure I'll aim for the push on that one with everybody. It seems like the consensus safe pick, so... Yeah. All right.
Which leaves us with the American League West.
Now, here's where I'm going to change things up a little bit. So far, I'm the only one to go this route. And and I'll be honest, I'd say 90% of the picks were done before I even sat down to tape any shows. So the only thing I was still debating was this National League Wild Card 2. So all these picks are uninformed by everybody else. So the American League West, I've made this mistake so many years now, but I'm going to stick with it until it pays off. I'm going with the LA Angels.
I think I picked them for a few years, too, thinking, man, they
I think I had them in the World Series a couple years ago.
Yeah. They've got so much talent, but okay, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim is your pick.
I feel like they're going to finally put it together this year with all those guys. What was that?
That's what happens. You load up with all these free agents, big names, and they're past their prime. Billy Bean wouldn't do it.
That's true. That's true.
That's why Billy Bean's laughing at them.
This is true.
Okay, that leads us to the wild cards.
The Red Sox for wild card number one. I feel like they'll still hang in there. I think they'll do okay. I don't think the championship hangover will keep them out of the playoffs, but... I don't know. I just don't see pretty much the core is coming back, so that's good. But I'm counting on the championship hangover to slow them down a little bit. Go ahead.
the second wild card?
I'm going with the Texas Rangers.
Okay.
I feel like they made the right sort of, I don't know if they made the right acquisitions, but they made the kind of acquisitions that make me interested, which are like Prince Fielder and that Sinchu Sue guy.
Yeah, those are solid pickups.
So I figured they...
Prince Fielder seems to always choke in the postseason.
I was going
to
say he tends to mess up at the wrong times, but he'll. I'm just counting on him to get them there. So that's all.
That's all
I need out
want.
Of him. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
In the NL East, I have...
Oh, no, who's running this?
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
And next we have the National League East.
I'm going to go with the Washington Nationals.
Ah, my pick. Very good.
Yeah. That's another sort of push pick. So, But I was counting on a bounce-back year. I kind of figured everybody else would, too, and I don't really see anybody in that division that excites me too much to challenge them, at least.
No, Atlanta's been solid here.
Well, you'll see in a moment. I have Atlanta down.
Okay.
Down later
Very
on.
Good. And in the Central Division.
Only because it's just it's kind of like it's kind of like the reverse of the Angels. They burn me every year because I refuse to work with them. So I'm taking the St. Louis Cardinals every year it's like every year I'm like fuck them, they suck. I don't want to see them in the playoffs. They're boring, they're awful, their fans are terrible, and then every year they're in somehow, and it's like, if I had just picked the Cardinals, like everyone else did in the Central, I would have won. So I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
Now you pick them, and they'll suck this year.
Well, then I'll get what I really want, which is the Cardinals to be, to not be in it. All right.
And the strongest division in Major League Baseball. National League West.
Here I am going with the Dodgers.
Okay.
I feel like, but I also feel, I'll be honest, I could see the Dodgers also just having a collapse kind of year.
I would love that, yes.
So, I'm not entirely sold on them. Something about them kind of puts me off. They don't seem to have that. I can't even say that. I'm an idiot. I don't even watch their games. I don't know if they have any chemistry or not.
You have no clue.
I have no clue, but based on my remote viewing skills.
You want to root against the team that has the most money and, you know.
Yeah, I figure human nature would presume that like the 21st paid player on the 25-man roster would hold some kind of resentment against the top five guys who make like $20 million. Maybe he's only making like $3 million, and he's like, "What the hell, man? I, you know," and maybe that doesn't really work well in the overall, you know, scheme of the team.
Well, I'd be damn happy if I was making $3 million.
I guess, yeah, that's true. That's true.
I guess it's all relative. You know?
That's what, yeah, that's what I mean. Or maybe the guy that makes like $25 million is a real like asshole. So you're like doubly, you know, annoyed. Plus, I don't like that Adrian Gonzalez. I don't think he. I think he's bad for clubhouse morale. I know.
Hey, where'd you get that from?
From when his time in Boston.
Okay, he wasn't there long.
That's, well, because he was bad for clubhouse morale. Yeah.
Well, he's a hell of a player, though.
I know, but my least favorite Globe writer did say that he has sort of a know-it-all attitude that rubbed other players the wrong way, and he often said crap. So
yeah.
So I don't care.
I don't think that always matters that
I know.
Much, you know, and all that chemistry.
Well, if you're winning, it helps. If you're winning, it doesn't matter, I guess, is what I mean, yeah.
Right.
But anyway, I'm still picking them for the West, but I cheer against them on principle. Plus, I hate Carl Crawford, too. I hate all those guys they sent over from Boston.
I was kind of rooting for Carl Crawford to do good. I don't know why.
Yeah. I don't hate him as a person. I just...
yeah.
It's like, I should actually appreciate these guys, because once they got rid of them, they won the World Series, so...
Yeah. Well, the Dodgers helped unload all that...
It was miraculous.
...packages they wanted to get rid of, yeah.
It was a miraculous season altogether last year.
Contracts. Okay.
All right.
So,
wild cards.
Get on to the wild cards.
Number one, you'll be happy to know, I've picked the San Francisco Giants.
Oh, good choice.
Keyword here is consistency.
Sounds like you're doing ESPN show.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the consistency in these teams. So I feel like they, plus their seasons, they've been there before. They know how to get it done. You know.
Yeah. So. I think they're going to have. I think a few players potentially could have breakout years, but anyway. So you're. Second wild card?
This is where it got very tricky. It was down to like three different teams, but in a sort of similar to the St. Louis Cardinals move, I'm taking the Atlanta Braves.
Okay.
So, because it was down to them or Arizona, and I very well could be wrong about that, but I felt Atlanta's one of those teams, yeah.
Consistency.
Exactly. I remembered right toward the end that they recently just now got beset with two or three pitching injuries, but it's early enough in the season that it shouldn't. Again, I don't know. I don't speak from any knowledge whatsoever, folks, but I feel like they probably have a good system in place to replace any pitchers because they seem to be a good pitching team. So I think they'll be okay, and I put them in at number two in the wild card.
All right, and those are some solid picks, Tim.
Thank you.
I wish you well.
We didn't do the championships again.
Oh, yeah, I forget about that.
It's all right.
Okay.
It's all right.
Who's coming out of the National League?
I'm going to go with your San Francisco Giants taking the National League pennant.
Right on.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that. They're going to edge out the Cardinals, I feel.
Well, wait a minute. I'm saying right on, but that means... If you're right, you'll probably beat me and I'll lose again, but my Giants will win, so.
Well, here's
I'd rather have my Giants win than me win, so, okay.
Here's where it gets tough, though, because I have the Tampa Bay Rays winning the American League championship. And then winning it all, I also have the Tampa Bay Rays winning, finally.
Ah, interesting.
I feel like this will be the coronation of that clown down in Tampa Bay that with the English accent and the glasses.
We should put some money with some bookies on the Tampa Ray. I wonder what the odds are in Las Vegas on them going all the way.
I don't know.
Maybe I'll do that. I've never bet like that before, but maybe this is the year.
That wouldn't be a bad idea. I bet if you bet on the Red Sox last year before the season started because they were so bad in 2012, you would have cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be like that would be a good process to have, I guess, if you. Just bet, if you were like just a Boston fan and just bet like $500 on the Red Sox every year, maybe eventually you'd come out on top? I don't know.
Yeah, people think you're crazy before when they had the curse of the Bambino all those years.
I know.
Sure, go ahead. You might as well flush your money down the toilet.
Well, I wouldn't start now, but maybe you should start betting on the Cubs then. All right, so those are my picks. We got your picks. Thank you for hosting my pick portion. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Now, what's before we say goodbye, what's going on with you? What's happening in the world of Go Rightly? I want to put you over here, dude. I love this website you've got. I don't know the name of it, dude. I click on it right from your Facebook. It's the raw stuff.
Yeah.
The reprintings and stuff. It's amazing. It's just wild stuff. And every time I see one of those on my timeline, I'm like, oh, man, this looks crazy. And I read it, and I'm like, wow.
Cool. Yeah, it's Historia Discordia, and it's been these materials I've been working with for a few years here. I've been talking about the last couple of years, that there's going to be book projects coming out, and I'm kind of try to hold back on saying that all the time because people are, might be thinking, okay, well, you've been talking about it for a while, but a couple of the books will be coming out this year, and these materials was first exposed to when I did the book, The Prankster and the Conspiracy, on Carrie Thornley, and you interviewed me about that years ago, and it's has to do with the Discordian Society, a spoof religion, I guess you could call it. Similar to the Church of Subgenius, the Holy Bible is the Principia Discordia, which is a famous underground piece of work that is famous in the counterculture, and Discordianism to this day continues to flourish. You got all kinds of Discordian groups around the world that belong to the religion that worships the Greek goddess of chaos and discord. So anyway, when I wrote The Prankster, I met with different people, Robert Anton Wilson, a guy named Robert Newport, and who knew Carrie Thornley and Greg Hill, the guys who came up with Discordianism. And he shared with me some rare materials, armful of stuff. When we met at Robert Anton Wilson's place, and I thought, wow, this is some amazing stuff. Eventually, maybe I'd like to do a book project. Bob Newport let me take this stuff home and scan it. I used a lot in The Prankster and the Conspiracy, and I stayed in touch with him over the years about doing a project. He was always cool. Then, a few years back, touched bases with him again. He said, yeah, I'm still cool with it. Next time you're down in L.A., why don't you come by and I'll give you everything. And everything turned out to be like a lot of stuff. I just thought he had an armload of stuff, but there was five boxes of materials, which will lead to numerous books probably. One is a couple are ready to go, and they'll be published this year. The book Historia Discordia, the website was named after. And that's has a lot of rare materials, has the first edition of the Principia Discordia, rare stuff by Carrie Thornley and Robert Anton Wilson. So that'll be out this year. Then within these Discordian archives, these materials were a bunch of Carrie Thornley's writings and stuff he'd collected on the JFK assassination. Thornley was indicted by Jim Garrison, from the...
Oh, yeah. I remember.
The whole story. So and I wrote about that in The Prankster and the Conspiracy, but in these Discordian archives, I found much more about that story. So I've devoted a whole book to that called Caught in the Crossfire, Carrie Thornley, Oswald, and the Jim Garrison Investigation. And that should be out. I don't have the exact date for it, but it'll be out sometime this year, published by Farrell House.
Hmm.
Pretty famous book publisher of controversial materials. And so those two books are coming out. So there's extra stuff, though,
Yeah.
And a lot of that's ending up, and I'm continuing to discover things going through these archives. So that's getting posted to this Historia Discoria website, and it's also a way, you know, to promote the book. I'll put some teasers in there, maybe the a page here or a page there, just to whet people's appetites about all this stuff. So anyway, that's the website, and I've got a lot of help putting it together with my publisher at Fiji Press. He's going to be working with me on future Discordian-related book projects. So there's there's a lot of material there, and people are excited about it. And the website is getting a lot of interest. It's interesting looking at the stats for it. It's really there's a lot of interest worldwide, you know, for this material. So a lot of that has to do with Robert Anton Wilson and the whole Illuminatus trilogy, which was inspired by Discordianism. And there's a lot of references and things within the Illuminatus trilogy that have to do with Discordianism and that whole mythos surrounding all of this. So that's what I've been up to, and working on other book projects that are outside of the scope of all of this, but those will probably be a few years before those emerge. So a lot going on with the writing and the website, you know.
Nice. All right. So Historia Discoria is the website people want to check out for more info. I presume that's where they'll find out when the book is coming out and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the whole idea behind it.
What a great idea.
Well, yeah, and you know, you got to promote stuff in this day and age if you want it to go anywhere.
It seems to be the case, yeah. But no, I'm really looking forward to it. I like it. I like it a lot. Like I said, I check it out all the time and really dig into it. So once,
it's
all collected together, I can't wait to sit down and talk to you about it.
Yeah, it's kind of... I mean, there's a lot of people, once again, worldwide who are interested in this stuff, and I think it was very important to the 60s, 70s counterculture, but on the same hand, it's relatively obscure. So, but a lot of what the Discordians did, I think, set the stage for... what's come after with culture jamming and all these media tools we use now. The founder of Discordianism kind of set the stage by kind of being a groundbreaking guy doing some of the first zines and being involved in computers and, you know, early word processing and all this. There's a lot to the story behind all of this, and so that's kind of my mission with the website, is to put all this seeming craziness into some type of context.
Nice. I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, but I'm surprised the hipsters haven't picked up on this yet. Maybe they have.
They have to some extent. We got some coverage with Boing Boing.
Oh, okay.
Which is the big hipster nerd, you know, they reach a large audience. So we're kind of, and hopefully we'll continue this relationship with Boing Boing and some of those media outlets. And
now that you've called them the big hipster nerd outlet, I can't imagine why.
they don't care what I say.
I doubt they're listening to the baseball special anyway.
Yeah, that'll be their top story. Go rightly calls. Well, he'll never... we'll never talk to him again. But
It turns out hipsters only listen to my baseball special. It's like the...
Really?
No, that's a joke. It's just what a hipster would do. It's what a hipster would do. I only listen to the baseball one. What? That doesn't even make any sense. All right, so keep an eye out, folks. It's going to be... When can we expect this stuff to be in our little grubby hands and able to read and digest, aside from the stuff on the web right now?
This year, and I'll get you copies. Going to be a few months, but these two books will happen this year, and I'll get you copies.
Nice. Well, we'll get you on the show. Yeah.
Yeah, whenever you're ready to do something, we can do it.
Absolutely.
Live or recorded or whatever.
Absolutely. All right, brother. Well, I really do appreciate it. We've gone long here, but we got a lot of extra stuff in. I appreciate it. So,
yeah.
Thank you very much, my friend. And as always, it's great talking to you. And you'll be back on BOA Audio before you know it, I'm sure.
Thank you, sir.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we continue onward here with the 2014 BOA Audio Baseball Special with the 2012 champion, Paul Kimball, who has surrendered his crown now to Greg Bishop. But he's back to try and reclaim the title and also talk about the past year in the world of baseball. So welcome back to the show, Paul.
Hi, Tim. Boo hiss, Greg. Although it's good to see somebody in Los Angeles winning something in baseball.
Oh, boy. There you go. That's a double disc because he's also a big-time Dodgers fan. So
that's what I mean. Yeah.
I know. Well done. Well crafted.
Yes. I've had a year to think about it. So.
Oh, very good. Now, last season, I'm not going to bust your chops, really. I already did that when we did the live show at the end of the summer before the Red Sox went all the way. But last season, we won't talk about the Red Sox so much, but you were very bullish on the Blue Jays. Now, in a post-mortem sense, what do you think went wrong there?
Everything.
it's fairly accurate. That's the sad part, yeah.
It's a long list, everything from some bad personnel decisions to a raft of injuries to competing in a tough division. And if you're not totally on top of your form, then you can lose an awful lot of close games pretty quickly and pretty easily. So the difference between being a 90-95 win team and being a 75 win team in the American League East is, you know, there's a thin margin, as the New York Yankees may or may not find out soon.
Hmm.
So the Blue Jays found out last year. You know, they were just, they had, it's kind of like one of my old films. I did a film once, and as my brother said to me, Paul, everything has to go right, and this could work. But if anything goes wrong, it could all fall apart. And everything on my film fell apart, and that's exactly what happened to the Blue Jays. They needed sort of everything to go right for them, and I kind of thought that it would. They'd have some sort of magical season. And it turns out they had like a magical season from Leprechaun, the movie Leprechaun, which was bad magic.
Hey.
So they had a terrible season, and they're probably headed towards a not particularly good season this year. So.
Yeah, it didn't seem like they did too much. I'm looking at the off-season in review here, and it says the most notable arm they signed was Roy Halladay, who signed the one-day ceremonial contract to retire, which was nice. It was a nice sentiment.
Yeah, I mean, in the case of the Blue Jays, they could contend if everything goes right for them, and then maybe they make an acquisition or two. But when your starting pitching is R.A. Dickey, Mark Burley, and Brandon Morrow, and then a couple of guys that nobody's ever heard of, they might be very good. They have a lot of good young talent. But the Blue Jays always seem to have a lot of good young talent. It kind of reminds me of the Expos back in the waning days of the Expos franchise when, you know, the Expos had a lot of good young talent, and then eventually it usually gets shipped out one way or another. And the Blue Jays seem to be in that boat, and they seem to acquire talent. They bring people in, but it's just not, yeah, R.A. Dickey has a Cy Young Award. Well, great. But he, you know, that's the one great year in his resume. You know, Jose Reyes is a fine player when he's healthy. Josh Johnson had tons of potential when he's healthy. I mean, you can go down the list. They're not bringing in guys like, you know, Mike Trout.
Right.
Not that Mike Trout's available, but they're not bringing in guys like Miguel Cabrera or anything. And they have guys. They have guys like Jose Bautista, who is a star player. And, you know, Edwin Encarnacion, who is, if not a star, he's a pretty darn good player. These are the kind of guys that I suspect they're going to be looking at trading about halfway through the season, because I think you're probably going to see a Blue Jays fire sale when they finally figure out what we have here isn't enough. We got to blow this up, and we have to try again. We have some good young talent, but we need to get, you know, we need to not maybe not go Houston Astros, but we need to really hit the reset button on this franchise because we just don't have enough here to contend with this current group.
Yeah. You don't want to go Houston Astros. No one wants to see that.
No. Although the Philadelphia Phillies might have to try. But, you know, there's the Phillies are a good example of a team that has tons of heavy contracts with tons of players who were really good in their prime, but like Ryan Howard and Jimmy Rollins and Chase Utley, none of them are getting any younger. So they've got a group of, even Cliff Lee, they've got a group of guys who would be good pieces on contending teams. But if that's your core group, it's probably time for you to get rid of as many of those people as you can and start over again.
Yeah, yeah.
Better to do that sooner rather than later.
Because that's where the Phillies are pretty much at now. They should have done it a couple of years ago, maybe. But
yeah, they're in the later category. And the Blue Jays are actually, I think, still in the sooner category. And I don't blame them. Take your shot this year. See if you can contend. But if you're halfway through the season, the trade deadline's approaching, and you're not in contention, you are still in Soonerville, but next year you might be in Laterville. So you should probably maybe push the button and do a reset. Get what you can. I mean, they do have assets that I'm sure halfway through a season, a lot of staffs would probably like to have Mark Burley as a third or fourth starter going down the stretch.
Sure.
Or R.A. Dickey. A lot of teams would like to have a Jose Bautista, although I'm not sure the Jays will ever trade him. But there are other parts on their team that teams would look and go, hey, we'd like to have that guy, and we'll give you something back for it. But, you know, they're not going to do that when they know you're really desperate. You'll only get something back when you actually maybe have some standing upon which you can do a half-decent deal. So we'll see. But, yeah, the Blue Jays won't be in my picks this year, I'm afraid.
Yeah, yeah. No, nobody do you foresee any breakout team that you're kind of feeling bullish about, not necessarily to go all the way or even get the playoffs, but sort of a surprise. Like, we mocked the Houston Astros. I don't think they're going to be the team. But is there anyone out there you think might be a surprise, bubble up to the surface type team?
Well, if you play enough fantasy baseball, which I used to, but I don't anymore, you realize two things, and it comes back to that sooner rather than later thing. Some people will hang on to players for too long or overvalue them because of past performance. And the same thing I think is true of teams. And some people will undervalue players or teams that haven't turned in, let's say, an all-star MVP caliber season yet.
Yeah.
But they should have seen it coming. So nobody ever really comes out of the woodwork. You should never be surprised at a player when he turns in an MVP season. I mean, there's very few flukes. You should be able to look in the past and say, well, maybe we didn't see 40 home runs, but this guy was going to have a good year.
Right.
I think the same thing is true with teams. And I think if you're going to look at a team this year that people are going to overvalue and then a team maybe that people are going to undervalue, they're both in the same division. I think people are going to overvalue the Detroit Tigers, which is not to say they're going to have a bad year, but I think people overvalue them, and I think people are going to undervalue the Kansas City Royals. I think there's a generational switch in that division coming, and I think the Royals are the team on the way up, and I think the Tigers, if not on the way down, are the team that is going to have to at least share the top of that division. And I think Kansas City, I guess, would be the surprise team that I would say is probably going to have a pretty good year, even though they had a good year last year. But I think they're a playoff contending team this year.
I'd peg, for some reason, I'd peg Miami to be kind of a, I'm not even going to think, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs or anything, but I feel like they'll kind of linger in the mix through September.
Well, they have a very good
young
which
core.
Which is to say they have a Cy Young caliber young pitcher there. And you can win 15 games just based on a guy like that. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a pretty good place to start. They have a good young core of talent. And they hit the reset button probably at the right time.
Right, that's what I mean. A couple of years ago now, I think, so.
Yeah, the Blue Jays get stuck with, you know, a fair bit of their talent. And so they were a team that took a look and said, yeah, we just are not going to contend with this group. We'll win 80 games maybe, but what's the point? Let's get rid of them. Let's let the new guys try it. And so they're one of those teams that, you know, is constantly building to try and make a run every 5 or 6 years and then live through 4 or 5 or 6 years of crap. And there's two ways of doing it, I guess. The one way of doing it is the way the Red Sox or the Dodgers or the Yankees seem to do it, which is just throw a ton of money at stuff and you can perpetually contend fine. If you're not one of those teams, and there's a couple others, then the other way to do it, I think, is to say, you know what? We're going to pick our shots. We're going to build for 1 or 2 years of going for it And then, you know, we're kind of going to have to live with the fact that the rest of the time maybe we're not really contenders. And then we'll rebuild again. And the only exception that I can see to that rule is the Tampa Bay Rays. Because somehow, with virtually nothing, they manage to contend every year. They're the outlier. Hmm. But pretty much everyone else that you can sort of look at does it one of those two other ways. Like the Brewers. The Brewers were hot for a year or two, and now they've fallen back.
Right.
And Pittsburgh might wind up in the same kettle of fish this year.
That's what I expect from them, yeah. They're going to settle back to earth.
They had a nice little run. So did the Reds. The Reds had a nice, you know, year or two, and kind of they're there, but maybe they're not there. And I think it's, you know, it's hard to compete with the big guys, but you can make a run. And I think that's what the Royals have sort of loaded up to do. In fact, they've got so much young talent, they might be able to make a run of 4 or 5 years before that talent starts to flee to more expensive climates. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Tampa Bay seems to be the one outlier that doesn't really have a fan base of any sort that I can discern. Doesn't seem to have a whole lot of money, but just keeps developing. And it's probably all down to Joe Maddon. At some point, you get a really, you know, Hall of Fame caliber manager who just knows which buttons to push and which guys to stick in, and he can make an awful lot of things happen with maybe a team that if you had a substandard manager, I don't know, like anyone who's managed the Blue Jays for the last 20 years, they just wouldn't be able to make that mix work. But somehow Maddon pulls it off, so.
I was going to say I'm surprised they kept the manager in Toronto because I thought he was part of the problem, but I don't know.
He is part of the problem, but, you know, your alternatives might be even worse. So.
That's true. Yeah, we saw that in Boston. So.
Well, yeah. And, you know, you saw what a good manager can do like Terry Francona in Cleveland. You can take a bad team and turn it into, I wouldn't call Cleveland a contender even last year, but a playoff caliber team and, you know, had a nice little season.
Yeah.
And without Terry Francona there, you can chop off 10 of their wins. So he's worth, the stats heads talk about wins above replacement. Well, they should have a stat for managers. Like, they should include them in that, too. And I think Terry Francona and Joe Maddon and a couple others, their WAR, their WAR, is an awful lot higher than, frankly, a lot of players and certainly most other managers. So there are a few managers that are worth whatever money they're paying them, and those are two of them. You know, there's a couple others, too, I guess.
Yeah. All right, now you're kind of the baseball purist in a lot of ways on the show here, or and also very outside the box in a lot of ways. You enjoy the World Baseball Classic. So let's rephrase that. You look at all this from a meta level. That's probably the better way to put it. So you're probably the perfect person to ask about the implementation and arrival, finally, of expanded instant replay. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, it's good news, bad news. The good news is you should endeavor as much as possible to try and get the calls right. I remember watching, was it the 85 World Series or the 86? The one where Don Denkinger blew the call at first base with the Cardinals. A terrible call. I think maybe it was 87. But it was whichever the year was. I mean, it's one of those famous calls that if you had instant replay, it wouldn't have taken very long to figure things out. So there's the good news. You can start making things better, make sure that as much as possible the right team wins. Now, having said that, have you watched any of the NCAA March Madness with the college? The interminable length for some of these replay checks where everybody and their dog sitting at home watching just whatever replay the networks are showing goes, that's pretty obvious, and then they're still checking and still checking and still checking. So I don't, you know, baseball's slow as it is, and I dig it. That's part of why I like baseball. I like the slow, leisurely feel, especially if you're in a ballpark, but you don't want to implement anything that's going to make it any slower, where you just start taking away from the natural rhythm of the game. So I think the NHL has a pretty good, it's one of the things that the other major sports can learn from the National Hockey League is their instant replay, the way they implement instant replay, where I believe the calls are all kind of shuttled off to a central office in New York. And, you know, you have the eye in the sky, the Orwellian monitor who's looking after every game. And so a referee calls in from, I don't know, Detroit or Anaheim and says, hey, here's the thing under review. And the head office pretty quickly goes, yeah, here's the call, and boom. If you're implementing that kind of system, I actually think that kind of system works because you've got some consistency for one thing. And for another thing, it should move pretty quickly. You should have some sort of clock on it or something. Hmm. and that's another thing I like too. The NFL, they I think they have a good idea. You only get so many. So if you use up your two challenges, and you blow one of them, you don't get any more. If you use them both up, I guess in the NFL, and you get them both right, they give you a free one. So you get three for the price of two. But that's it. And I think that's probably a pretty good idea. You know, even in baseball, managers, it adds an extra element to the managing of the game too. It makes managers even more important. Am I going to use my challenge in the second inning for that call at first base that may or may not be as important as I think it is right now? Because there's two outs and nobody on.
Exactly.
Or am I going to stick that in my pocket and hold that in case there's something in the eighth inning that with the bases loaded, I really need? And, you know, that adds something to the managerial thing. So, you know, it could work. I think it's time. I think it's, as Pablo Torres would say on Around the Horn, you know, it's time to let our robot overlords decide the outcome of the game and take it away from fallible human hands.
Hmm.
I'm not sure I want to see it go that far, but yeah, I'm all for seeing the right calls be made. So, you know, as long as they put a workable system in place that doesn't have the delays that you see in, say, the NCAA in the basketball.
Right.
Or even sometimes in the NFL, because even there they can take a fair bit of time. And as long as I think they keep it, you know, they keep it, so you don't see constant reviews, that every little thing is being reviewed, I think.
Right, right.
And the one thing I would never, ever, 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 you know, this can't be the thin edge of the wedge for strike zone review.
Right, yeah, no one wants that.
You can't touch balls and strikes. I like seeing the little box on television, you know, that's great, but it's not completely accurate, and I think you do have to leave. Otherwise, guys like Tom Glavine never make the Hall of Fame. I mean, you need umpires to be able to give a guy like Tom Glavine the extra 3 inches on the outside of the plate, and suddenly you can add another 200 wins to a guy's career. So as long as they never mess around with balls and strikes, I think everything else should probably be fair game.
Hmm. Yeah, there's a human element to the balls and strikes that is enjoyable.
Yeah, although, I mean, with steroids, they've had more or less robots playing anyway for the last 30 years, so you might as well let the umpires be robots too, and then maybe the game would be perfect.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the big rash of suspensions and everything that happened last year? It's pretty pretty crazy. It's sad, because they really made an effort to make it look like they've cleaned things up, and then it kind of shined a big spotlight on the fact that they're really always going to be trying to just catch up with these people.
Well, you know, the truth is, if you catch somebody, you should make them illegal within the game, performance-enhancing drugs.
Right.
Fine. It took them far too long to do that. You know, as long as Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens aren't in the Hall of Fame, then I think Bud Selig shouldn't. And he'll be up for the Hall of Fame someday, and there's no way he should get in the Hall of Fame either. And there's no way Tony La Russa should be in the Hall of Fame.
I was going to say, they definitely will put I can't say definitely, but if I was going to use the Tony La Russa example. See, he just skated by, and they put him in the Hall of Fame, and it's like most of his achievements were the result of steroid players. So,
juice players who I have no doubt he knew were juicing. Everybody knew they were juicing, and Selig certainly knew that. But here's the thing. The writers, the sports writers who now vote against Clemens or Bonds or whatever, most of them knew that these people were juicing, but they turned a blind eye and wrote these wonderful stories about Mark McGwire hitting 70 home runs and all that sort of stuff. And the fans, we all knew too. So everybody's complicit. I think, you know, and Lou Gehrig didn't have to play against black ball players, neither did Babe Ruth. I mean, there's different eras that have different things that happened that made, you can't really compare and contrast. But no era has ever been perfect. I mean, in the 50s and 60s, they were hopped up on amphetamines. So I would say, look, let them all in. If they really, you know, Roger Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. You can start going, I keep Rafael Palmeiro out because I didn't think he was a Hall of Famer anyway. But the hypocrisy that surrounds all of it and continues to surround all of it, this holier-than-thou attitude coming from Major League Baseball, when I think they still turn a blind eye. So if you're dumb enough to get caught, Ryan Braun or whomever, then yeah, you probably deserve the penalty that you're going to get. And I don't have a problem with that. But the moralizing that comes with it now from Major League Baseball, I think is a bit much. And I never, ever thought I was going to say this. But I have a small amount of sympathy for Alex Rodriguez. Because he's no worse than anybody else. He just happens to be a complete idiot. And there's a level of arrogance and a lack of self-awareness of just how much trouble he was in, that if he kept his mouth shut and played ball, no pun intended, he probably could have gotten away with a much smaller suspension. But he for whatever reason, thought he was invulnerable, and it turns out he wasn't. But they're making him the poster child for everything that's wrong in baseball, and maybe he is. But there's an awful lot of other guys just like him. And I, you know, everybody turned their blind eye to it for so many years that it's hard to watch. It's kind of like watching the President of the United States lecture the Russians about causing trouble in Crimea when the United States has been dropping bombs on other countries for 60 years without, you know, anybody saying, hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to watch the hypocrisy of the commissioner of Major League Baseball, who was there during the height of the steroid era, start lecturing guys like Alex Rodriguez about how you've ruined the game. And it's hard to see sports writers go after people like Alex Rodriguez. It's not a question of defending Rodriguez. He got caught. He should be penalized. I think the penalty was far too harsh in comparison with what other people were being given. And, you know, he should have been given what he should have been given, which I guess for a convicted first-time offender, because I don't think he'd ever been convicted before, or, you know, penalized, should have been 50 games. So give him 50 games, and let him lace him up if somebody wants to employ him. And there's the thing, right? The New York Yankees owe him a fortune. And you will never – it's like UFO conspiracy theory 101. You will never convince me that the New York Yankees, with their hold, one of the biggest teams, didn't call Bud Selig and say, listen, do us a solid. Get this guy out of baseball for as long as you can.
Yeah.
And then by the time he comes back, we'll either be able to buy him out for – you know, dimes on the dollar, or he'll never come back and we won't have to pay him. Like, give us a reason to not pay this guy because he's crippling our franchise. So it's a cover-up, I think, at least in part, for the fact that the New York Yankees made a terrible contractual decision and the, you know, Major League Baseball has kind of stepped in. And Rodriguez made it easy. He made it easy for them. So, you know, it's hard to feel sorry for him, but it's all stinks. Mm-hmm. It all seems real. The whole thing around Alex Rodriguez seems as fishy as the steroid era in general, which is kind of, I guess, ironic. And it still turns me off a little on the game. The whole everybody being complicit, the moralizing, the hypocrisy, and, you know, you look at the Hall of Fame, for instance, which I do take seriously to the point where, you know, my brother is always going, Paul, stop talking about the Hall of Fame. And he's a big baseball fan. He's like, you're annoying me. Stop it. And I go, like, why isn't Tim Raines in the Hall of Fame? That we could do an entire episode on that. That's crazy. Tim Raines should be in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, but I also think Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame. And I think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, too. There's a really good, for your listeners who like baseball, I was reading a really good article on Sports Illustrated about Pete Rose and how, you know, why he still isn't in the Hall of Fame. And, it, you know, it's kind of fun but to read it. But it is a really well-written article. It might have been Tom Verducci. I can't remember. And I thought, you know what, yeah, I'm on board with this. Maybe I was angry at Rose for a while, but you can separate the player from what he did as a manager, and there have been actually worse people who've done worse things than Pete Rose. But look at his career as a player. Why is that guy not in the Hall of Fame? He's got more hits than anyone, and no one's ever going to match that mark. That guy should be in the Hall of Fame. And you can put an asterisk next to him or on the plaque, any of these guys, Clemens, Bonds, whatever, on the plaque, put. You tell the full story, whole full story about who they are, but also say these were the best players in their era, and they were flawed men, like just about everybody else in the Hall of Fame who isn't, you know, maybe named Ryan Sandberg or something.
All right. Are you ready for the picks?
Yeah, there's so many other things I could rail about now that I'm rolling, but I wasn't even going to do the baseball special this year, people.
I know,
I was a little turned off on baseball, but once season rolls around, I get cranky and I start thinking about all these things. So,
to my credit, I did pester you quite a bit, so.
Yeah, Tim did. He did pester me. He was the Roswell of baseball fantasy commissioners. He kept poking up and annoying.
I guess, yeah, annoying. That's a strange analogy, but yeah.
There you go. Yeah, okay, sure.
I'm sure my
picks will crash like Roswell flying saucers. So
maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, we'll start in the American League East, which is our home division. Who you got?
Tampa Bay Rays.
All right. AL Central.
Kansas City Royals.
Wow, all right. Breaking out of the pack a little bit there.
I told you, Tigers Royals. One's up, one's going down.
Okay, I know. I thought you were going to say, just give them the wild card, so I'm impressed. AL West.
Oakland Athletics.
All right. The AL wild card won.
Does it actually matter, one or two?
No, it doesn't. Actually, we don't keep track of that.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
Fine. The Red Sox.
All right. And the second wild card.
The Tigers.
Okay. All right. A nice diverse series of picks here. I like this. The National League East.
Yeah, my National League picks won't be quite so diverse. The Nationals.
All right. The Central.
Cardinals.
All right. The West.
Los Doyers.
The Dodgers.
Yes, that's Spanish version.
We got. Even though we teased Greg Bishop, we have to appreciate that. Much like Toronto took all the trash from Miami. The Dodgers did take all the trash from the Red Sox, so we could go on and win the World Series.
Yeah,
well for us.
It's true. Although it seems to be working out well for the Dodgers too, relatively speaking, compared to how well it worked out for Toronto.
That's true. That's true. The National League wild card.
The National League wild card. You start flipping coins for these, but
yeah.
I'm gonna go slightly off the board. I'm gonna go for the Giants.
All right. Nice.
I got a vibe, a feeling, something like that about the Giants, and that's the one pick I've. This is me grumbling, people. I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Reds.
All right. Yeah, I struggle with that second National League wild card, too. That was like the last thing.
Falls under the category of who really cares because they're not going to the World Series, but sure, I'll go for the Reds. Because I got Joey Votto, and he's Canadian.
There you go. All right. Who do you have winning the American League championship?
That'll probably be the pick that destroys me at the end of the season. I'll be like, oh, why'd I pick the Reds? I should have gone for the Brewers, the Padres. The Phillies. The Rays.
All right. And National League champs?
St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh,
the Washington Nationals. That's impossible to pick against the Cardinals.
I know. It's so frustrating.
But they're a juggernaut looking at it. It could go either way, though. The Nationals, the Dodgers, those are the three teams. And in the American League, you know, I think it's the Rays, maybe the Red Sox. And I want to pick the Royals. I really do. I want to go with a Cardinals-Royals World Series because that'd be awesome. But I can't. I just like the Rays too much.
Yeah. All right. So you have the Rays versus the Cardinals in the World Series. And who do you have going all the way, winning it all?
I have a nice, sunny, nobody-gives-a-rat's-ass World Series win for the Tampa Bay Rays.
All right. You're not the only one in the pool.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh.
You may be surprised to know that I, too, have picked the Tampa Bay Rays to go all the way this year.
Well, I'm pretty sure that everybody in Tampa Bay just uttered a collective, oh, crap.
Yeah.
We're screwed now.
Well, it matters even worse. Me, you, and Go Rightly. So I don't know if it's a good sign or a bad sign, but we, all three of us, have the Rays going all the way. But I feel like...
Wow.
I feel like this might be the year they finally put it all together.
So do I.
Because
they're always there.
Right, right.
And I, like I said, wins above replacement. I believe Joe Maddon is going to be worth, in the playoffs, with the roster they have this year, he's going to really be worth one or two extra wins when it really counts. And I think that's going to be the difference.
Yeah. I think they are due.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else going on? What's up with this movie you're working on? That's how we almost didn't get you for the show here, because you're busy with the movie.
I have one coming out. The post-production on Damnation, which I shot a year and a half ago, has been pretty slow. But it's literally, they're just putting in the final music cues. So that'll be ready in a couple weeks. And Roundabout, which I froze my ass off shooting in February and March, I've just finished the assembly of the which is your... For film, non-film people, it's what your editors do the first time through to kind of assemble the footage and get your first timeline. So I'm editing the film as well. So I just finished that, and I'll be done the rough cut by the end of April, the fine cut by the end of May, and the film will be premiering, and along with Damnation, though. So I'll have two films at the Atlantic Film Festival here in September, and then off they go into wherever our distributor from... We have a British distributor, so wherever they... decide to send it, that's where it will go. They will go. And hopefully I'll be shooting another one by then. So got
awesome.
Others floating in the mix.
That's great.
So, yeah. And right. on a paranormal connection, the last thing I'll say is Damnation, the original story idea upon which the screenplay is based, it comes from Walter Bosley, who's been a guest of, I think he's been on your show, right?
Yeah, Walter's great.
Of course, yeah. And a longtime friend, of course, of Radio Mysterioso as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So.
Good guy.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good. And people can keep up with you at, what's the website, redstarfilms.tv or something?
Redstarfilmtv.com, or you can go to my old blog, which I brought back online and occasionally post at, redstarfilms.blogspot.com, where I mostly crankily rail against crazy UFO people.
Hey, no better. No better way to spend an afternoon is railing on those folks. They deserve it.
Exactly. It wouldn't be me if I wasn't me. I just watched, earlier today, I just watched the 2000 International UFO Conference presentation of Dr., in quotation marks, Jonathan Reed, end quotation marks, which was appalling and hilarious at the same time. So,
all right. I was going to say, why would you do that to yourself? You're a good person.
Gifts that, well, it's funny because they're the gifts that keep on giving. So they're just, it's so fun to kind of watch some of these hucksters that, you know, every now and then it's the internet. It's a wonderful thing. YouTube keeps them alive. It's great.
The UFO field is going to be a really butchered analogy, but the UFO field is like what wrestling would have been if WCW had won the wrestling war. That's really what it's come down to.
Or like TNA is now.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's just, sad and embarrassing to watch, but hey,
but funny at the same time.
Exactly. Can't turn away style.
It's like watching, you know, people throw turkeys out of helicopters. Well, that's...
KRP, yeah, okay.
I swear to God, with God as my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. The turkeys are mounting a counterattack.
On that note, thank you for coming back to the baseball special, Paul.
Nope, hopefully I win this year so I can lord it over everyone next year.
There you go. The first honest response we've gotten from any of the guests, so.
Well, that's what we Canadians strive for, eventual honesty.
All right.
All right, thanks, Tim.
No problem, buddy.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we continue onward here with the 2014 BOA Audio Baseball Special, and this time around we are featuring the winner of the BOA Forum Contest. He's earned the right to join us here on the Audio Special, and actually, this is not his first time on BOA Audio. Talking about the man, the myth, the legend himself, Red Sun Superman, or as we call him in these parts, RSS. He appeared on the Lost Cast, the now Lost Cast, which is no longer online anywhere, and did appear on the Lost Cast finale, which was actually a part of BOA Audio, much to the chagrin of many, many listeners, very similar to the baseball special. So welcome back to BOA Audio RSS. Congratulations on winning the forum portion of the contest, and, you know, you're up in the big leagues now, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I still haven't gotten over Lost. But it's good that baseball has kept me interested in other things.
Yeah. We'll talk off the air after this about Lost, because more foolishness and hijinks from the makers of Lost continue to trickle out day by day and month by month since they shut that freak show down. But we've got our own freak show here, and that's the baseball special. And you are you're in the Michigan area. You are a Tigers fan, Tigers follower. A lot going on with them. They came dangerously close to winning it all last year, if not for that one fateful grand slam in the Game 2 of the ALCS. I think it would have been a completely different end to the season for a lot of teams, but that's just the way baseball is, right?
Yeah, the Torrey Hunter flip over the wall, and the Boston cop who was holding his hands up high celebrating football.
Legendary. I got a big smile on my face just thinking about it. I actually went back and watched it like a few nights ago, getting ready for baseball season. That's how much I was thrilled by that game. But of course, it wasn't thrilling for you guys. It seems like it was a juggernaut team, which was the Tigers running up against the team of destiny in the Red Sox. And I think that borne itself out by that insanely improbable home run.
Yeah. But I think Detroit people thought that they had the team of destiny. So, Didn't work out that way, though.
Everybody does when the playoffs start. But coming out of that all was the changing of the guard in Detroit, new manager. The new one is Brad Ausmus. What's your take on this guy? I don't know anything about him. What do you expect from him with the Tigers? Is it going to – do you think it'll have any discernible difference in the team? Because this isn't the kind of thing where they get rid of a manager like a Bobby Valentine situation, you know, where they got to get the hell out of here because the guy's poisoning the team. Or it seemed more like it, like this was a little bit thrust upon them that Jim Leland was like, all right, I've kind of had enough of coaching for a while. So, but what's your take on the whole changing of the guard over there?
Yeah, it was totally his call, and he actually got retained as a. Like an assistant to the
traveling president. Secretary.
Yeah, so he gets to basically go like go scout the minor league guys and still collect a pretty decent paycheck. So
it's a good deal.
Yeah, so he kind of parachuted out, and Brad Ausmus, who was a former Tiger, they brought in, and from what everybody says, he's got like an Ivy League education, you know. So he was a catcher, which they always say that like catchers make great managers because mm-hmm. you know they've already dealt with the pitchers and they
yeah.
you know are involved in like every facet of the game. So so you know it remains to be seen. Obviously, is the unique situation about him is that you know usually a manager comes in a bad situation because the other guy couldn't do the job and. And this guy gets, you know, basically a loaded team, although they've obviously made a ton of changes in the offseason besides the manager. But obviously this is a team built to win now, and you know, all he can basically do is screw it up if they don't continue to win.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned a ton of changes, and we talked before the show started here. I was putting together the list, and I completely left off the Prince Fielder trade. That's how big of an offseason it was that I forgot about that. So a lot of stuff happened with the Tigers this offseason, a remarkable amount of stuff.
Well, basically, the Prince Fielder trade began like a domino effect because once they got rid of him, that they were able to move Cabrera back to first base. That allowed them to be able to put their the top prospect in the organization, Nick Castellanos. They put him at third. They acquired the second baseman, Ian Kinsler. So he's a new guy. And then they made the Fister trade. So they get rid of one of their starting five pitchers. And bring Smiley back up from the bullpen. So yeah, just and then they signed Joe Nathan to
the
closing role. So yeah, just a ton of changes. They basically have gotten away from the you know hitting a bunch of doubles and home runs to being maybe more athletic, a better defensive team, and being able to steal bases and manufacture runs that way.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Are you as a fan? As a fan of the team, are you happy or sad to see Prince Fielder go? Because he was kind of a masher there.
Oh no, I don't think anybody in Detroit is upset about that trade just because of the comments that Prince made after after they were eliminated by the Red Sox, where he basically said, you know, everything was okay. You know, he wasn't going to cry about losing and. Had to go take care of his sons, and you know that. I mean, he was probably right in what he said, but the way he said it right after losing didn't really go over well in Detroit.
Okay, see, I didn't know about that. All right,
yeah. Well,
good riddance to him then. Yeah. We were saying, I think it was Go Rightly I was talking about this with the other night. It seems like whenever something went wrong, Prince Fielder was around anyway, so he seemed to make a few. Few costly mistakes, right?
Yeah, and it was just the fact that you just lost, and then you're going to say that, like, well, you know, what am I supposed to say? Like, I'm not going to whine about it. We lost, and you know, it was like he didn't show any emotion or passion, or you know, he just kind of said like, oh, I'm going to go home and take care of my kids, and said, well, that's great. You can be a great dad, but you know, you were terrible in the playoffs, and there's like no explanation for how badly you performed, or
yeah.
You know, you didn't address any of that. You know, it's just like, I tried hard, we lost, and went home.
Not good, man. Not good. Now, what about this trade, this Pfister trade to DC? A lot of people seem to think that wasn't a very good trade for the Tigers, but obviously I don't know anything about it. So what's the temperature on that in Detroit?
Yeah, I think everybody here seems to be scratching their heads. That the national pundits are scratching their heads. It's like they basically got a lefty bullpen guy, Ian Kroll, a lefty prospect that could maybe be a starter down the road, and a utility guy, Steve Lombardozzi, that they ended up then trading to get a 37-year-old shortstop, Alex Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Who they could have acquired in the offseason. You know, they basically could have just signed him. So you end up getting rid of a utility guy, came in that trade for a guy that really you could have already had. So people are really pissed about that now.
Yeah. I can imagine.
I think that everybody's pretty much terrified about the shortstop situation because, you know, there's like, you go from like this brilliant defensive young player that you think is going to play there for the next 10 years to a 37-year-old shortstop who's hasn't really played shortstop for the last 2 years and this backup, unproven guy in Andrew Romine. So, yeah, it's pretty scary because they thought they built the defense, the infield defense around, Iglesias, and he's out for the season now.
Yeah.
With, fractures in both his legs, which probably the Red Sox knew about and just never, said anything about when they made that trade.
Hey, you guys could examine medical records.
Yeah. typical Red Sox.
Hey,
you know?
Hey. We lucked out. What can I say? It's all good, though. It's all good. I know I know you guys are bitter about it, but hey, we're it's Jake Peavy didn't exactly do too much for us either. So, but
you know what's crazy is like the basically in spring training they've had they lost Iglesias for the year, they lost Bruce Rondon for the year, who was their relief pitcher that was supposed to be the closer last year. As a rookie, he throws like 103 miles an hour.
Wow.
And he's out now for the whole season with Tommy John surgery. And then Andy Dierks is out for like, I think like 8 weeks for, back injury.
Yeah.
So it's just been, and then, you know, Cabrera coming back from his surgery and Verlander coming back from his surgery. So it's kind of like a MASH unit right now for the Tigers to start the year.
Yeah, but a lot of people are still behind him. A lot of people are still bullish on him. That's the word I was looking for. So I think, we'll see what happens. We'll get into the predictions in a moment. Now today the big news was the Miguel Cabrera deal. It seems like they just got out from under this crazy Prince Fielder contract, and now they've taken on this new exorbitant contract. So what's your take on all that? I know I'd like to get paid like $29 million a year, but it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, I think people in Detroit are kind of laughing about how, like, if you've read anything, like every national pundit seems to be ripping the trade that it was completely unnecessary. That he had 2 more years left on his contract. And what are the Tigers doing? They didn't even need to pay this guy now. They didn't need to redo the contract and. How dare they pay some guy $30 million? It's like ridiculous. And of course, you know, the view in Detroit is, hey, it's a 2-time MVP. Like, why, if you can retain the guy for the rest of his career, why wouldn't you do it? Like, you know, like, it's like not even a question that this is like a great thing, at least in the short term. I mean, you know, who's to say what's going to happen when he's, you know, 38 or 39 and playing DH, but you know, if you win a World Series or two before then, who cares, right? So I'm just kind of laughing about how seems like everybody outside of Detroit is saying, like, how this is terrible for the game and, you know, how dare the Tigers do this. And everybody in Detroit is like, huh, this guy's going into the Hall of Fame as a Tiger. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Unless they trade him, like, I guess he'll go in the Hall of Fame as a Tiger no matter what. But I guess, seems unless they flip him, like, what I mean is they may end up flipping him at some point down the line. But that happens, I guess, right? Like what happened with Prince.
Yeah, although, he said, I think, today that he wants to retire as a Tiger. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
But basically said, I wanted to, you know, basically lock myself up here and stay here the rest of my career, which is obviously, for people in Detroit, that's a big source of pride, you know, because everybody kind of rips this, says, you know, why would anybody want to go live in Detroit or, you know. So when you get, like, the best player in the game, and he's clearly the best player in the game, you know, sorry, Mike Trout fans. So, you know, when somebody like that says they want to stay for the rest of their career, it's pretty awesome to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. And then do you think they're going to work out this Scherzer situation, or is he going to end up a free agent? I feel like he's going to end up a free agent, but maybe is that, you think that's why they locked up Miguel Cabrera? Because they were like, all right, well, this guy's not playing ball, so let's go to option two here and take a look at what we can do with Cabrera, and then it all worked out fine with him.
No, I think that they probably figured they were gonna overpay for Cabrera anyway, so I doubt that they figured he was probably gonna turn that down since they're paying him $30 million until he's 40.
Yeah.
So I think they tried to get Scherzer first, and they think they offered him a pretty good amount of money. I think it's like $144 million, and so that wasn't enough. So, I don't know. It seems like, I would say it's an 80% chance that he's probably going to test the market and probably sign with somebody else.
Yeah.
They still got Verlander. They've got Anibal Sanchez, who was the ERA leader last year in the American League. They got Porcello. They got Smiley. I mean, they still have one of the best rotations in baseball. I mean, they have one. I mean, it's probably arguably the best this year, as long as Scherzer's there. And then even if they lose him, you know, they still have four sweet pitchers. So
yeah,
I don't think it's a great. It'll be a great loss, but I mean, on a team that's already spending a ton of money, I mean, you've arguably got the best pitcher in the game and the best hitter in the game, so you can't keep everybody, I guess, unless
yeah.
The Yankees are ready. So,
yeah, exactly. And plus, with the Cabrera deal, I was thinking about it when you were saying that. Even though he's got two more years left on his contract, with the way these contracts are, they might actually have saved him some money if they had, by signing him a couple years early, because like in two years that they try to lock him up then, the average annual value might have gone up even higher, and so they might have saved themselves like an extra million or two a year, you know, because like if Anaheim signs Mike Trout to like $30 million a year, then they might have to pay Cabrera $31 million or something.
I think the only person who's smiling right now is Mike Trout because, you know, who knows what he's going to get now? I mean,
yeah.
Because of this, I mean, he's going to be the highest paid player in the game, right? I mean, there's no question that whenever he becomes a free agent, it's going to be a. I mean, if people are bitching right now about what Cabrera's getting, and
yeah, the only thing is he's only been around for a couple of years, so you just never know, you know. You never really know, I guess, right? But at the same time, the Angels might have been smart to do like what the Tampa Bay Rays did with Evan Longoria and just sign him like right as soon as they brought him up to like a long-term deal. But, you know, who knows? Who knows, buddy? I don't know. But how are you feeling overall about the, before we get into predictions, how do you feel about the overall chances of the Tigers here? It must be pretty good. I mean, you're in a pretty, you're in a pretty soupy division there. We're not talking about a lot of breakout teams here. Although the Indians surprised last year. You expect them to...
Wait a minute. Indians were really good last year.
I know.
I actually think Kansas City is a concern because I think they've got a lot of young pieces and a decent pitching staff. Well, it's certainly not as good as Detroit's, but I mean, they do have some pretty good pitchers on that staff. So, you know, I mean, if Detroit struggles with their shortstop and their bullpen, and you know, I could see Kansas City maybe even being better than Cleveland this year and challenge them for the division. But it's not as good a division as some of the other ones, and the Tigers could probably still win it with like 90 or 91 wins. So
yeah. I just meant you guys got a soupy division because you get to beat up on the Tigers and the Twins and the White Sox. You know.
They're
pretty pathetic teams. And then in the West they got the Mariners and the Astros to beat up on. So all we got in the American League East is the Blue Jays, who should be good, and even the Orioles are plucky as hell. So it's a tough division.
Right.
You know.
Although the Orioles are with Machado out, that takes a lot of
steam out of them.
I mean, everybody keeps talking about the Yankees are revamped, but I don't know. I still don't buy it.
I hate to say it because I'm probably going to jinx myself here on the baseball special, but I think the Yankees don't stand a chance this year. They didn't fix any of their problems.
And if Jeter probably is going to be terrible this year. I don't think it's really going to be like Rivera. Like, I think he's going to go out hitting like 250 and.
Yeah. Like a Jorge Posada last year.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like, you know, we really don't want to play you right now, dude, because you kind of stink. So, you know, it's very awkward and uncomfortable for everybody. But, you know, who knows? They could tap into some kind of magic and win the American League East. I'd be stunned, but I really doubt it. But who knows? But like I said, I don't think they fixed any of their problems as far as pitching. Their infield is atrocious, you know. So I don't see it. But what do you mean? They had a perfectly serviceable player in Curtis Granderson. I don't think Ellsbury's really is worth the money they paid him. So, but we'll see. All right, are you ready to put your money where your mouth is on predictions?
Yeah.
All right. You didn't sound very confident there. I don't think any forum member has ever won the overall competition from the guests before, so hopefully you can break that streak. Although we do have that infamous year that you remember Mystery Man. I don't know where he went off to, but Mystery Man used to be a dominant force in the prediction contest, but he's long gone and hard to find nowadays. Tells me, I talked to him recently, actually. He tells me he's not as into baseball as he used to be, so that's probably why he isn't.
Just because the Yankees suck, right? I mean,
maybe. I'm not sure. He had a lot going on in his life, the crazy guy. We miss him a lot, Mystery Man. We miss you at the forum. Come back. But here, let's go through the predictions now. For the American League East, who you got?
Red Sox.
All right. The American League Central, probably no surprise here.
Tigers.
All right. American League West.
Because of Prince Fielder. And I think they're loaded with a lot of offensive. They might be the best offensive team in the American League, Rangers.
Okay, all right. See, now I went with the Angels. I'm still holding out hope they can get it together at some point to help me win the prediction contest. But I just don't. That's a team like some of these other teams that sign a bunch of guys and don't ever coalesce. But we shall see. What do you think of Robinson Cano going to the Mariners? You think it's kind of a dumb move on his part, unless you want a bunch of money?
Yeah, I don't think they have much of. I mean, they have some pretty good pitchers, so you know, they have two or three pitchers that are capable of winning 15 games, but that's only 45 wins, so I don't know if they can get to 80. You know.
I think it's going to be a rough few years there for them. I mean, they may turn into a contender like in 3 or 4 years, but
right,
I'd be surprised. And by then, who knows? You know, I don't even know how old he'll be then, but I don't know if he'll be old enough to do anything. So
yeah.
All right. So you got the Red Sox, the Tigers, and the Rangers, and then in the wild cards, Who you got for wild card number one?
I'm actually regretting this actually now because I think I probably should have flipped them. But I have the Royals one, but I think they probably won't win 90 games, so that might be tough.
Well, it doesn't matter if you get one or two. There's no point delineation between one and two, so you're okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then I got the Rays sneaking in there.
All right. Okay. I think you're underselling the Rays. That's my prediction for the season. As you know, I've picked the Rays to win it all, so... But we'll see what happens with them.
Yeah.
But you're bullish on the Royals, huh?
Yeah.
You're not the only one. We've got some... I'll be posting some of the picks later on this weekend, but you're not the only one getting behind the Royals here this year, so... We'll see what happens. I think a lot of you are going to be disappointed. I backed the Royals last year. Look what happened to me. I didn't win crap, so... I learned my lesson.
I don't have them going far. I just had
I know.
To them.
I had a modicum of faith in them, and they didn't net me anything, but I think I had the Angels to win it all, so it shows what I know. Okay, in the National League East, what do you got?
The big bad Nationals.
All right. Okay. National League Central.
Cardinals.
And the National League West.
The Dodgers.
I think you'll see when the picks get posted, but you'll be amazed. I think it's almost, maybe with the exception of a couple of people, it's almost an across-the-board push on all three of those divisions. I don't know why. It's kind of annoying in a sense that it's so, I wouldn't know if I would call it predictable because we don't know how it's going to end, but it's kind of annoying that everybody seems to be backing the same three teams for those three divisions, but I couldn't think of too many other teams that were going to break through either, so.
Yeah. I think partially you pick the Dodgers because they're a big market team. They spend a lot of money. I actually like Don Mattingly. I think he's a good manager, so that's part of the reason. The Cardinals just have a history of being good, and we'll get to it later, but I think the Nationals are the team to beat, so.
Okay. And for the National League wild card, who are your two teams for that?
Pilots, because I think I don't think they're just a one-year wonder. I think they've got some pretty good talent, and I do like their manager, so I got them as my first, and then I still think the Giants are a decent team, a couple years removed from their World Series, so we'll go with them.
All right. Pirates and the Giants, okay. All right. I wanted to have faith in the Pirates, but I just couldn't this year. I feel like, I don't know. I don't know if they can capture it all, the magic in the bottle again, but we'll see. We'll see what happens with them. They're a sentimental favorite, that's for sure. I think you can agree with me on that. Maybe not.
I think people in Detroit can identify with people and folks in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Kind of similar problems. I think the resurgence there meant a lot to that community last year. So hopefully it wasn't just a one-year thing.
Now, we touched on this, but I notice in your picks here, you do not, you have the Royals getting to the wild card, but no hide nor hair of the Cleveland Indians. Do you think they're going to regress back to sort of middle of the road?
Yeah, because if you remember, like Ryan Rayburn was like a huge star for them at different points last year.
Yeah.
And, everybody in Detroit remembers how he was horrible with the Tigers. So, I don't think they caught lightning in a bottle there with him. And I don't see them getting better.
All right.
Did you pick them?
No.
Okay.
So I think somebody did, but I don't know who yet. I gotta look at my info here. All right, so we got your picks for the divisions and the wild card. My chair is squeaking like a maniac tonight. We got your picks for the divisions and the wild card. So who are your AL and National League champions? Who will be facing off in the World Series?
I think it'll be the Nationals against the Rangers. And I think Prince Fielder will again probably hit about 100 in the when it counts, with no home runs, no RBIs, and the Nationals will win it all.
All right, so you're picking the Nationals to win it all. Very interesting. Okay. Well, that would be interesting because you don't see anybody but the Cardinals will be. I don't like to see. I'm sure other people in parts of America feel the same way about the Red Sox, but I'm kind of sick of some of these same old teams winning all the time. So it would be good for the Nationals or even the Rangers or the Tigers to see some new blood in there win the World Series.
Don't forget, they've got Doug Fister.
That's true. No, they've upgraded and
they've got a great pitching staff.
Yeah, they've got a great team. So I'm not sure what happened to them last year, but it stands to reason that they would have a bounce back year. So, but who knows?
And Harper's. You know, it's kind of funny. Like Mike Trout is gotten all this, you know, thunder and talk and everything. And a couple of years ago, it was Bryce Harper that everybody was raving about. So. You know, maybe Bryce Harper will steal a spotlight back with a World Series.
It's entirely possible. All right. Well, what's next for you? What's going on with RSS? You got any book projects we should know about?
No books.
Okay.
I'll just continue listening to the next podcast from BOA. That's probably what I've got next in the pipe.
Nice. Well, I do appreciate your long-standing support and friendship of the program, RSS, and it's great to have you as part of the canon of BOA Audio once again. Congrats on winning the forum contest, and best of luck.
I'll say this. Next up for me is going to the Motor City Comic Con with Lone Gunman.
So, there you go. Motor City Comic Con.
Hopefully, it'd be nice if Baruti would show up there, but it probably won't happen.
Yeah, I don't think Baruti can fund a trip to the zoo, much less the Motor City Comic Con, but who knows. All right, buddy. Well, thank you for appearing on the baseball special.
Thanks a lot. And I will win again.
All right.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
That does it for the 2014 BOA Audio Baseball Special. Big, big thanks to Greg Bishop, Jason Offit, Adam Gorightly, Paul Kimball, and Red Sun Superman for joining us on this year's baseball special. Be sure to check out all of their various websites to find out more from them in the realm of the paranormal. Fantastic. Researchers, writers, broadcasters, all the way across the board. Awesome guys, and it was great to be able to sit down with them once again for the baseball special. With that said, since this episode is insanely late, we're 2-3 weeks past opening day at this point. It's sad, really. This is probably the most haphazard edition of the baseball special we've ever done. And so I'm going to eschew all of the normal end-of-show segments here. We're going to skip listener feedback. We're going to skip the staff thanks. We're even going to skip the push for donations and scurry along right to the plug for next week's program. On the next edition of BOA Audio, I couldn't even begin to tell you who's on the program just yet because I'm waiting to hear back from a couple of folks regarding doing another live edition of the program. Hopefully within the next few days. Once I get that info, I will get it posted to Banal of America and BOA on Facebook. That's where you'll get the information on the next edition of the program. If I can't get all the stars to align for a live edition of the program, I will dip into our collection here of taped programs from earlier this month and roll out a fantastic edition of the program that I'm sitting on right now, which is really tremendous stuff. So no matter how you slice it, there will be a new edition of BOA Audio in the realm of the paranormal, don't worry, coming at you in hopefully just a few short days. And with that said, we close the book on the 2014 BOA Audio Baseball Special.
Big, big thanks once again to Greg Bishop, Jason Offit, Adam Go-Rightly, Paul Kimball, and Red Sun Superman. And, of course, enormous thanks to all you folks out there, the truly hardcore BOA audio listeners, the ones who tune in to the baseball special. You are a very elite group, my friends. You are, as I said, the true hardcore BOA audio listeners. Thank you once again for your enduring support of the program, and thank you for making BOA audio a part of your esoteric and baseball audio playlist. Until next time, this is Tim Benall, thanking you for listening and signing off.